Welcome to the sofa. I'm Sherry.
I'm Bonnie, and this is the Sisters Hallmark Sip and Chat podcast.
We're a couple of crownheads who love all things Hallmark.
Welcome to week 5 of Countdown to Christmas, everyone. We're so glad you're here. In this episode, we will be sipping sparkling cider sangria. You can find the recipe on our website, sisterssipandchat.ca. Feel free to pause so you can make your own. This episode, we will be chatting about this week's 4 movies entitled Inventing the Christmas Prince, 3 Wise Men and a Baby, Our Italian Christmas Memories, and Christmas at the Golden Dragon.
Okay, movie number 1, Inventing the Christmas Prince, starring Tamara Mowry Housley as Shelby and Ronnie Rowe as Evan. Shelby's family fairy tale about the Christmas Prince is brought to life by her daughter's Christmas wishes and with the surprising help of Shelby's Scrooge-like boss, Evan. Let's find out how this movie rates on our sofa rating system. But first, a quick explanation. Our custom sofa rating system includes a list of 20 Hallmark tropes broken down into 10 categories that will determine how Hallmark is this movie. You can download this list from our website, sistersipandchat.ca. This movie earned 15 out of 20 sofas, and the categories include Clash of the Classes, Location, 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 Family and Friends, Affairs of the Heart, Christmas Magic, and the charitable event for bonus marks of the Toy Drive.
I really loved this movie, specifically the fact that Shelby was an actual rocket scientist. Mm-hmm. I think that was great seeing a female character in this higher level science profile rather than something like communications or a baker or something. Not that those are bad. I just love the idea that she was at this higher education level and they were actually sending off rockets, which is really pretty cool. And her coworker was absolutely hilarious. He made me laugh so much. She was a great part of this show. And then, of course, the opposite to that, in the beginning anyway, Evan, her boss, he was more like this really shy, kind of awkward Scrooge-like person. But you could tell like there was more to him that you knew you were going to see over the course of the movie. Because he wasn't a very good manager.
Because he wasn't a people person.
So he loved his rockets. He could, you know, he loved the stars. But you could see where there was room for growth. And I think it was really good to kind of start there in this story because it had a real, sweeping upward trend in his character. And you could really see that.
Yeah, I did find that his character did progress over time. And in my personal professional life, it has been my great honor to be working for so many years with the most amazing but yet misunderstood individuals that are autistic. And the boss there showed signs of having Asperger's, the way that he didn't know how to properly communicate with people, you know, the eye contact issues, and preferred to be alone. And mm-hmm. So it did bother me a little bit that it didn't seem like anyone had any appreciation for that to try to communicate with him where he was at to make it comfortable. Right. Although it did happen over time, but it was a lot more work on his part than the people participating with him.
Yeah, right from the beginning, he was under the gun for sure. And fortunately, his way through was being the Christmas Prince, which was absolutely cool. One of the things I liked about this particular movie, once again, is they're talking about, you know, this discussion around the beauty of different types of families. That right. Not every family looks the same, but there's still family. And I really like that they talked, or at least they kind of showed that a little bit too. And there's still lots of family feeling in this, even if, you know, the families were a little bit untraditional, let's say.
I agree. I do think that this story about the Christmas Prince was super cute. And I love the taste of magic that he actually had the mark, the kiss of the reindeer on his hand. Like that was kind of a nice little magic moment in there. And I think that the little girl having such great faith in him, no matter what, like she believed. And I think that that's really great to remember that it is believing is not always seeing, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think that you saw him, this change through him being that the Christmas prince. I think it's almost like he started to believe, even though it was a story, he was told this is a story. He was starting to feel himself a little bit like being a Christmas prince, being that better, I guess, that kind person over the holidays doing this for the little girl, even though it was a little bit of blackmail at the beginning. to do this. I think it was just as important for him as it was for her. And of course, I love the scenes at the tea. That was very sweet. And that
the finally, tea is very you.
The tea is so me. And plus, that was the first time you saw him kind of break his walls down a little bit and realize he could communicate with people by coming up with stories that meant something to him. And he was talking about a story of stars in the sky and whatever, like, I can't remember what the story was, Pegasus, the story of Pegasus. And it was something he just naturally connected to. And he saw that it could connect with her. And I think that was, I liked seeing those dots, you know, him going through the progression of his character.
Yeah, she was like the little girl that melted his heart.
Yes.
Right. Almost like the Grinch with the heart melting. She was a key player. I do think that the one thing this movie definitely teaches us that you can never predict what a child can dream for wishes.
Yeah.
Some of those wishes make the snowman come to life. Like, yeah. Seriously, how are you going to do that one?
Like, I mean, the pony living in your closet would be easier.
That would be something. At least the pony exists.
Exactly. She came up with some really doozies that, you know, in the end that she gave up so some of her wishes could be for him to help out at the toy drive. So that was really good. You know, she kind of learned along the way that maybe some of her wishes she could give up for others. And then, of course, in the ending, when he finds out that actually he's not going to lose his job, he's actually getting a really good promotion. Yeah. And he says, you know what, all of this, even though he could have said, well, you know what, I've gotten here, screw them and their party and the dance that I'm supposed to be there to prove I'm the Christmas prince and dance with the little girl. He said, sorry, I got to go. I've got a royal engagement. And they're like, so what now? The board members are like, I don't know what you're talking about. How are you leaving this meeting? We just gave you a promotion. But he was like, nope, I got to go. I've got this set up. And he arrives with this gorgeous carriage and he's in the uniform. And
oh, so
it
great.
Was, yeah, it looked a little like he was a nutcracker almost at first. But it was so beautiful. And then he had like the guy, the girl as a footman. And I just thought it was really awesome. It was a great way to end the movie.
I agree. And then both girls got crowns.
Yes, crowns. Of course. Well, we know crown heads over here.
That's right.
And there were pretty crowns on top of it. Okay, movie number two. Three Wise Men and a Baby, starring Paul Campbell as Stefan, Tyler Hines as Taylor, and Andrew Walker as Luke. Three brothers who spend more time on their own than together have quite the Christmas challenge, tag team taking care of a stranger's baby while decorating their mother's house as a special gift for her. Now let's find out how this movie rates on our SOFA rating system. And it rated a very, very good 19 out of 20 SOFAs. Ooh. And the category breakdown is town holiday celebrations, location, 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 family and friends, unexpected hiccups, affairs of the heart, big life changes, Christmas magic, and the bonus charitable event, the firefighter's toy drive and the firefighter date auction.
All right. Okay. Favorite part of the movie? The Nutcracker dance for the boys.
Yeah.
The Nutcracker dance was so funny. I love that they've always done it. They hear it. I love that. And I love people who are willing in all situations to laugh at themselves. That was great. I love that. Cause these boys had a hard time communicating with one another, but that song came on. They knew exactly what they needed to do.
100%. I mean, it was so cute. We're like a little bit hammy ourselves, so we totally get to it. The right song comes on, we are all a dancing. And I just absolutely love, like, I love these Hallmark actors. They're like my favorite one. And to have them all in one movie was great. There was actually a lot
of
other.
And the girl was the doctor.
Girls, I was going to say the other girls, who's a lot of to have some really popular Hallmark actors in as characters in this movie. I loved how it was funny. It has some serious moments, but there was lots of humor. How unprepared they were to take care of a baby. They were just completely useless, except for the one brother who just somehow just knew what to do. He was just awesome. The elf costumes and that picture, absolutely adorable. But yes,
on point.
The dance was amazing. And if you're listening to this and you have not watched this movie, you need to go and watch it and watch that dance.
Absolutely. Awesome. I agree. The guys were hilarious trying to figure out how to care for a baby. And the elf costumes, as I said, on point. I mean, what guy would just say in the mall, nope, we're going to do this? And that was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And Paul, I believe his name is Paul. Him and the girl that played the doctor, and I've forgotten what her name is, but those two together are so funny.
I know when I saw her come in as the doctor, I was like, has she got another part of the, like, how did she just show up as a cameo as the doctor? I was kind of like thinking she might be more part of the movie, but she's great. And I can't remember her name either. She was in the movie. We just literally saw that movie where the movie people come to the town. She's so good. I really liked her too. It was very cute watching the boys all pitch in together finally once they got over themselves, because babies are a heck of a lot of work. As you would well know, Sherry, having two very young grandchildren.
Very busy young grandchildren in the home. I agree. Yes. It is. And I mean, they did a great job and they asked lots of questions. So that was really good. And of course, the internet helps. But it was very funny how two are like covered in mess and the whole house is destroyed. They can't do anything. The other guy's making, I can't make cookies and hold a baby. Yeah.
He's making cookies. I did this thing. I took care of that stuff. And I'm on my way to go be a fireman and save the world.
Exactly. But once again, this was a great storyline showing how child trauma can be crippling even into adulthood. Mm-hmm. So I think it was another good example of why speaking to a therapist or talk doctor, as we say for children, is very, very important, because these young men had gone through such a traumatic experience with the father leaving that it had crippled them right into their adulthood for different reasons, mind you, but just another really good example of where, you know, it's okay to ask for help.
And the mother, who also, of course, was completely struggling living, you know, being on her own with three boys and what that must have been to take care of that situation and how much she still loved them. And they obviously still, even though they had their issues, they were still loved her because they were all either in the house or around the house.
Yeah.
Like they're all very much still connected. And when she called,
they jumped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did really. Their appreciation for their mom was really sweet. And when they created that living nativity scene at the end that they did for their mom, even though they didn't win the contest or whatever. And honestly, I thought the light show was going to be a little bit more than it was, but it's fine. Actually, I love that idea of a living nativity scene. I thought that was very cool.
It was really cool. And it brought people out of their comfort zone. So that was good. And the girlfriend with the lighting, I have to say, you sent me that video today of the new lighting system you have in your own house, which is a million times better than what they put on in that show.
Yeah.
But they work together. And, I guess that's how it goes.
Yeah, well, they weren't going to win against that guy across the street. He was hilarious, by the way. And I love that in the end, he becomes friends with them. Like, they actually embrace him as a friend, even though they were not friends in high school or whatever. Like, he was supposed to be like their quote unquote frenemy or whatever you want to call it. Right. In the end, he becomes part of the family clique and everything. I thought that was a perfect ending.
It really was. I agree. Okay, let's move on to movie number 3, Our Italian Christmas Memories, starring Sarah Power as Anna and Beau Bridges as Vincent. To help with her grandfather's memory lapses, Anna and the other Colucci siblings embark on a Christmas hunt for their grandmother's famous pasta sauce recipe. Let's find out how this rated on our sofa rating system. This movie earned a score of 17 out of 20 sofas, which is still pretty good. Categories are town holiday celebrations, location, 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 family and friends, unexpected hiccups, affairs of the heart, big life changes, and the charitable event bonus of the Christmas Eve party for the town, cookie booth for charity.
You know, most families have some sort of special food that's important to them, and that becomes something quintessential, like this is our meal that we, you know, they have a memory attached to as children. Right. I know for my husband, it's his mother-in-law's chicken and vegetable soup, which I had to learn how to make. Now, I might have tweaked here and there, but when I make that soup, it makes him so happy. I don't know if it's necessarily the remembrance of his childhood, but it's just something that, you know, it, and it happens to be delicious too, but it's something that brings him back to that place. And as they say in the movie, it tastes like home.
Exactly. I did like the tradition of finding the pickle in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
That one was kind of neat. And I remember something, now obviously it was a real thing. Back in the day when we went on a tour for the Christmas tour at Dundurn Castle.
Oh, yeah.
In Hamilton, they had something that the kids would go and look for in the tree. I can't remember what it is now. Maybe it was a pickle. However, I thought that was a great idea. So I may try that with my grandchildren. Maybe be too young this year, but maybe that'll be a next year try.
I think that is a good idea, even for the kids, but really they could do with their parents. So the parents can help them find it and make it a little bit True. Until they get old enough to do it. So yeah, I think that's a great idea, especially if you're doing a party with more than one, you know, a couple kids, if you're doing a group of kids or something, that's actually kind of cool. I thought that was really neat too. I also absolutely loved the keepsake thing that she made for the family once she found the recipe. She made that keepsake that had the recipe in the grandmother's picture. In that little foldable frame thing was really pretty. I really liked that.
And I know we talked a little bit off camera or whatever you call that, but I did think that, and I know we were talking about it, where they started to go and talk to people to try to figure out how to put the recipe together.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I wish they would have continued that on. I think
yes.
that made the store much more interesting. It had her friend have a chance to make amends, even though it wasn't directly with her. And you got to see how many people she touched and who knew her. People had specific standing orders for this woman. I think they could have done more with that storyline, to be honest.
I agree with you. I think I felt like that was the mystery was being revealed every time they spoke to someone. And that was a memory that helped the grandpa too. Their Nona is reliving these memories and bringing the Nona back to life through them. And they still could have written out the recipe later and did the same keepsake thing, even if they figured out the recipe right. on their own. Not to mention that her brother was a chef. So I thought maybe he would at least pitch in and say, well, let me try to play with this stuff, or here's what one normally is. Let's see what she would have did. You know what I mean? Like it felt a little bit like a missed opportunity there in the story. Kind of quickly ended. Oh, here it was in the pocket the whole time kind of deal, which didn't make a lot of sense.
Now, I love Italian pasta and I usually don't miss a chance to go for pasta because I really do love it. However, the sauce, they made it seem like there was so much to it, and there was like three or four different types of meat from the butcher.
Yeah, the sugo.
And when they put it on the platter at the end, I didn't see any meat on it, just a plain sauce on top of it.
I don't know that they used the actual, because you saw them cooking it, and you could see that they were using all these different types of meat, which when you're talking about Italian
maybe sugo, just for flavor?
Sauce, really, you know, like a sauce, like that's what it... almost like a soup or the savory dish or whatever. I totally get that it was a complicated, everybody has their own, but you're not wrong. There was a big plate of pasta that I think looked like the exact same big plate of pasta that was at the beginning of the movie that she brought out, which also didn't show any meat or anything. It just mostly looked like red tomato sauce on top. But you know, that's an argument for the prop department.
Absolutely.
If you're going to tell us it's a fancy sauce, then we want to see a fancy sauce. Because the brother made fancy stuff when we saw fancy foods.
His plating was gorgeous.
Yeah, like we could have seen that and the sauce would have been nice. But anyways, yes, it did make me hungry for pasta. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to pass at the time. But obviously there was the more serious undertone in this movie about the grandfather and his dementia, and it's really difficult to see one you love deteriorate, you know, that it sometimes it just feels like it all of a sudden happened. And I think it's a great idea to plan and prepare while they're able. So like the sister said, we got to make sure while he's conscious enough to make all these plans. And I totally get that. But I also do agree that you have to enjoy your time with them too while you're able. Like, let's not make it all about what's happening next. Let's enjoy the day to day. And I did absolutely appreciate the quote from the grandpa that family is not just the most important thing, it's everything.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do. You know, Alzheimer's is such a heartless disease. And personally, it is my greatest fear to forget my life and my loved ones. And I can't imagine how he was feeling. I understand it was an actor playing a part, but he knew that he didn't want his family to go through that. It is a lot. And I do know some people who have had loved ones who've had Alzheimer's, and it is very scary. It's scary for mostly for the individual going through it. I mean, even in Florida, when we go often, I believe on the symbols, like, you know how we have they have a thing on the road and it's code silver. And that's for elderly
people. You mean the Amber Alert
it's called silver. The silver is for silver haired people. So they know that there's an elderly person missing. So
wow, I guess because Florida has so many elderly retired down there, that makes total sense.
Or bluebirds. Snowbirds.
They might be blue. Who knows? Movie number 4, Christmas at the Golden Dragon, starring Cara Wang as Romy, Osric Chow as Rick, Sarah Canning as Veronica, Antonio Cupo as Nate, and Barbara Niven as Jane. The Golden Dragon, a neighborhood treasure, is set to close after Christmas Eve, but the owner's children and some loyal patrons band together to serve their last Christmas dinner service. All right, let's find out how this movie rated on the sofa rating system. And it earned a decent 17 out of 20 sofas. Mm-hmm. And the categories are town holiday celebrations, location, 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 family and friends, unexpected hiccups, affairs of the heart, big life changes, and the charitable event was the Christmas wishes for foster children.
Oh, this was a good movie. I don't know if it would be my top 10, but it was a really good movie. And I thought it was really great how everyone pulled together to save Christmas Day at the Golden Dragon for all those individuals who have nowhere else to go, because I never really thought about that, which, I mean, it does make sense. Mm. I hadn't really thought about it because we do Christmas Eve Chinese food.
Yeah.
Christmas Day, right? So I think that was a really good lesson for me to learn, to think about, oh yeah, they're like, everybody needs somewhere to go.
Well, I think because when people are normally thinking about that, they're thinking about someone who has to go to a shelter. But this isn't necessarily people who are underprivileged in that way, who certainly exactly. do need someone to care for. This is more of an emotional caring of, you know what I mean, being with others, and who, when they can't be with their loved ones, they get a chance to have a place to go where they can be with other people who are also celebrating the holidays away from their loved ones, but then they get to kind of band together in a friendship sort of way in this restaurant all on the same day.
And they even show how, like, you know, some dads aren't cooks. My husband's a very good cook,
yeah.
but lots aren't. So this is when it's your Christmas term, you get to give your kids a good dinner. And I mean, it's just something I hadn't really thought of. I mean, it's, I guess it's obvious, it's an obvious thing, but I hadn't really thought of it. So that was, I thought it was really good. So it's really inspiring to see a young man who puts others before himself. He deserved to be rewarded because he said he didn't have any volunteer hours, but none that maybe were signed up, but he did more volunteer than most young people ever do.
Yeah, it wasn't maybe like an official volunteer place where here's your credit for the thing you did. It was just his natural generosity, thoughtfulness, and kindness that maybe you can't get a credit in that way for, but she eventually gave him credit for it so that he could get the scholarship to go to college.
Right.
Her boyfriend's, Romy, the daughter, her boyfriend's family, like speaking of kindness and thoughtfulness, they were absolutely fantastic. It was super sweet to see them come together to make her feel at home and then to get her back to her family for Christmas after they've done all the Christmas things that she thought you would see in a movie. So they're going around getting dressed up to go do caroling door to door and people are like shushing them away, like, get away, what are you doing coming to my door? Because people don't really do that, I guess, in the real world. But it was adorable and they did it. They got all in the costumes and the whole kit caboodle just to make her feel at home. And then when she said, I'm sorry you did all of this, but I actually really want to be at my with my family for this last Christmas dinner, they were like, well, let's get you there. What do you need? Let's do it. I'll book your flight. Like, they were just right there, right on it. And of course, it made it nice after that there was engagement. After that, we missed Here Comes the Bride. So you know what? We actually missed Here Comes the Bride on this one. I just remember that.
So that makes it a 19. So they're actually 19.
I'm 19 out of 20. So that's good for her. So there we go. Even better.
Okay, this was a great message that family isn't only the people you are blood related to, but it also includes the people you choose to spend your time with and the people that are there for you. So, because I think they also talked about this on one of the other movies about family being everything. It's not only when you're awesome that they're around, it's even when they love you when you're awful.
Exactly. That's family for you, and the good and the bad, because family is family, right? And families are complicated. And that can be even, you know, more especially true at the holidays when things become amplified. And the Christmas spirit, in my opinion, isn't just in all the celebrations that we participate in, but the Christmas spirit, it lives in that kindnesses that we show to each other, that thoughtfulness.
100%.
Okay, well, let's move on to the drink update here. How did you like the drink? It was sparkling cider sangria.
It was very good. I liked the fruit. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites, but I did enjoy it. And I liked that. I mean, I really like fruit. So it was a good drink, but I wouldn't say it was one of my favorites.
It was a non-alcoholic drink. So that was kind of a nice, I didn't mind that there wasn't any alcohol in it, but you certainly could have, instead of the sparkling cider, I think you could switch that out for a Prosecco or champagne, of course, and make it that little more like a mimosa with that fruit. I think I would like that. It would even be a little bit more festive than a plain mimosa on a Christmas morning, because it has that cranberry juices and everything with a little bit of champagne or Prosecco. I think I would really like it like that. I did enjoy it the way it is. I mean, it's just a really nice fruit drink, but yeah, it wasn't my top 10 either in the drinks for sure.
This episode was brought to you by Hamish Community Services, opening doors by taking the dis out of disabilities. You can find out more information at hamish.ca.
Well, fellow Crownheads, we've come to the end of today's chat.
You can find all our episodes on your favorite podcast network.
And on our website, sistersipandchat.ca. Subscribe and never miss a chat session.
Thanks for listening. Join us next time.
And we'll save you a seat on the sofa.